Well, last week I mentioned that for a couple of weeks we were going to be looking at some different themes in Proverbs. And tonight I want to look at an important theme in the book of Proverbs, the theme of friendship, and just the importance of friends and the different kinds of relationships that we have with one another. And Proverbs has a lot to say about our relationships with one another, the types of relationships that we should pursue, the type of friends that we should have, the type of companions that we should avoid, as well as the way that we should treat others, treat our friends and those around us. And so I just want to run through some different passages of scripture from the book of Proverbs and maybe try to draw some of these thoughts together tonight on the theme of friendship. One of the things that we do see in Proverbs is that friendship is very important in our lives. Friendship and good relations with others were very important to the sages, to the wise people who wrote the Proverbs that are in the Old Testament. And I was just thinking about that, just the importance of friendship. And I was thinking about our current culture and just the way that I think real face-to-face relationships are harder today than maybe they have ever been in the history of the world. I think we've come to depend more and more on other kinds of communication that are not face-to-face, whether it be over the phone or on computer, email, Facebook, other types of social media. And we seem to be getting more and more isolated and disconnected from one another in our society. And I don't think that that's necessarily a healthy thing. I think that a part of building relationships is being real, face-to-face, and having real relationships with people, not virtual ones. And one of the new things now that is, you've probably even seen commercials for them, is these new virtual reality machines. Have you ever seen these where people put the goggles on and they hook their phone up to it and they go into like a virtual reality? And I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking, would you rather have real cake or fake cake? Would you rather have real cake or virtual cake? You'd rather have real cake, right? So, but yet we're spending all of this time on that which is virtual, on that which is digital. It's just a digital copy of that which is real and better. And it's amazing to me that we are spending less and less time in reality and more time in that which is virtual, not real. And I don't think that's good for us as people. When God chose to save us, he didn't save us from a distance, did he? He sent Jesus to us. He was imminent. He was near. He was among us. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was in the flesh and blood. People ate with him. People touched him. People saw him. People heard him with their own ears. That was God's method of saving us, was to come and be with us. And I think when we don't nurture friendships and relationships, I think we're missing out on a part of that incarnational reality that should be a part of us, as especially in the body of Christ. And so I just want to encourage all of us to think about ways that we can further nurture relationships and friendships with one another, not only in the body of Christ, also with our neighbors and others around us. But I think friendships are important. And the wise man Solomon and the other wise men in the book of Proverbs, they thought it was important too. One of the things that they say about friendship in Proverbs is that a good friend is valuable in tough times, and sometimes even more than a brother, more than an actual flesh and blood relative. Proverbs 27, 9 and 10 suggest that friends are sometimes more valuable than relatives during hard times, especially when that friend is close at hand, when that friend is near and can be a support and assistance right away, right there in that time of need. And so friendships, good relationships are important. Let's look at a few things that Proverbs teaches us about friendship. And the first thing that I want to look at is that it teaches us to choose our friends carefully. Proverbs teaches us to choose our friends carefully. And one of the reasons for that is because a friend's character affects your own. So you can see this all the way across the book of Proverbs, that as the wise man is teaching his student or the father is teaching his son, one of the things that he says over and over again is watch out who you hang out with. Watch out who you associate with, who your companions are, because they have an effect on your life. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we have an effect on one another. We can either make each other sharper, to use the analogy of iron sharpening iron. We can make each other sharper, or we can make each other duller, depending on the type of people that we're associating with. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So we gain a lot of benefit from hanging out with people, associating with people, making friendships with people who will lift us up and help us. So good friends will improve you. They will help you grow to become better. Proverbs 27, verse 9 talks about the importance of a friend's counsel, a friend's advice. It says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. So it brings joy to the soul to have someone, a close friend, be able to give you wise counsel. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. What does that mean? Well, there are people who will pretend to be your friends and they will flatter you. And they'll just say what you want to hear. But someone who really cares about you and cares about your growth, cares about your character, cares about your long-term well-being, they will tell you the hard things sometimes when you need to hear them. Because they're a true friend, not just for the moment, but for the long haul. And they want to see you grow and improve. So good friends can help you. Good friends will affect your character in a positive way. But harmful friends will drag you down. Harmful friends will drag you down. And there are several people that Proverbs says, stay away from these kind of people because they will drag you down. They will hurt you. Pleasure seekers, people that are just, all they care about is themselves and their own pleasure, their own delights, such as those who drink or eat too much. Proverbs 23 verses 20 and 21. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. So watch out for people who are only concerned about their own diet, their own hunger, their own fleshly desires. Proverbs 28, verse 7. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. And so watch out for pleasure seekers that are only in it for the moment, only in it for the delights that they can glean from this world. Also stay away from angry and rebellious people. Angry people. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Now, obviously, when Proverbs says things like this, it realizes that we're in the world, right? So you might have to work with an angry person. They might be a coworker. They might be your neighbor. They might live down the street. You might have a relative who is an angry person. So Proverbs is obviously understands that we can't pull ourselves away from the world and away from everybody, but it's placing an emphasis on the people that we associate with the most, the people that are our friendships, our companions, the people that we spend the most time with, the people that have the most influence in our lives. Don't hang around with an angry person that has a quick temper because you might fall into their ways as well. Proverbs 24 talks about people who are rebellious to authority. He says, fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with rebellious officials, for those two will send sudden destruction on them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. And obviously this is in the context of perhaps a father teaching his son about future duties in the court, in the king's administration. And so he says, be careful that you stay loyal to the king and don't join with those who might rebel against the king, different factions within the king's government. But I think we can take it and apply it even broader to those that are generally disrespectful of authority. Those that have a rebellious mindset against authority. I'm going to do things my own way. If my teacher says this, I'm going to go the opposite way. If my parent says this, I'm going to do the opposite. Those that just tend to have a rebellious spirit against authority, Proverbs says, don't make them your close companions because they'll affect you. Thieves and fools. Proverbs 29, verse 24 says, the accomplices of thieves are their own enemies. They are put under oath and dare not testify. In other words, if you are a friend of a thief and that thief steals, then you're also going to bear the consequences of having been associated with that thief, with that person. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. So associate with wise, those people that can give you healthy, good advice, not with people who are fools, stubborn, rebellious, pressing against God's authority. So watch out for thieves and fools. Don't make them your close companions. Immoral and sinful people. Proverbs 29, verse 3, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. And we've already seen in one of the other lessons in Proverbs the dangers of sexual immorality, the dangers of the adulterous woman or the adulterous man, the dangers of lust. And so don't hang out with people who are given over to those passions. Proverbs 24, 1 and 2, do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. So there are those who just have a bent toward evil. They have a bent toward rebellion. They have a bent for getting into trouble. And the sage of Proverbs is saying, stay far away from them. Don't make them your friends and companions. And so harmful friends can drag you down. So choose your friends wisely. Choose good friends who will be and help you to improve and grow in your character, not those who will drag you down. We also have a responsibility to our friends. So Proverbs tells us to choose our friends wisely because they influence us. But we also have an influence on our friends, don't we? And so we have a responsibility in our relationships with other people. And so Proverbs teaches us to be true to our friends, to be true to our friends, to support them in time of need, to be there for them when they are facing difficulties. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. So be there in times of adversity. Be there in times of trouble. Proverbs 18, 24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's emphasizing loyalty, isn't it? Loyalty, faithfulness, even in hard times. You want to know who your real friends are? Go through a difficult time. Go through the loss of a job. Go through poverty. Go through an illness. Go through difficulty and see who are the ones that are there, who stick by you, who pray for you, who help you. Proverbs 27, verse 10, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. So be a friend who is even better than a family member in a time of need. Someone who's close, someone who's able to help, someone who's faithful and willing to help. So support your friends in their time of need. Keep their confidence so they can trust you. If they tell you a secret, keep it secret. If they take you into their confidence, then hold that faithfully and maintain that for them. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So if you love this person, then you don't have to spread it around. Maintain their confidence. Keep things private. Be faithful to that friend. Don't spread gossip or rumors, things that might damage your friendship. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So keep things close. Keep things secret. Now, obviously, there are some things that need to be said, some things that need to be reported. If you know somebody who's doing something illegal, then that needs to be taken care of. That needs to be reported. I think for a long time, there were people who were able to get away with very immoral things. And I'm thinking especially in terms of sexual abuse of children. And there was a culture for a long time, I think, in generations past, where that was just kept hush-hush. And nothing was ever said about it. It was not taken care of. And so if we hear of something like that, we have a responsibility to try to make that right. That's not something you want to cover up. But if it's a secret, if it's something that your friend has taken you into confidence about, if they ask you to pray for them but not share this with everybody, honor that. Honor that and be faithful to your friend. So keep their confidence. Show them respect and courtesy. Show them respect and courtesy. And this goes beyond friendships. This goes to every human relationship, doesn't it? Every human relationship. I think we as Christians should be known as people of respect and courtesy to everyone. Everyone. Even the people that we disagree with, even the people that we don't see eye to eye with, even the people that hate the gospel and hate Christianity, we can still show kindness and respect, courtesy to them. To the people that we generally see in our community, to our neighbors, to our church family, I'm convinced that more and more marriages would survive if husbands and wives would just treat one another with respect and courtesy. Be careful about the way that you talk to one another, just the tone of voice, the way that you say things, the kind of words that you say. They can be damaging, especially over a long time. They can be damaging. Show respect and courtesy. Proverbs 27:14 says, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. In other words, be sensitive to the needs, the wants, the desires of other people. So if somebody's sleeping, don't barge into the house and say, good morning, welcome to the day. And they may not want that blessing at that moment. This is one of Anna's favorite passages. She loves to quote this one. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. And that's something that can happen a lot in friendships and relationships. It's something that happens a lot between young people. They'll give each other a hard time. They may even insult one another and they'll say, I was only joking. We have to be careful about that because it's not something where I think sometimes people use that phrase, I'm only joking, after they see the reaction of the person. So it's like they throw out this cut down or this insult or this harsh word, and they see the response of the other person. The other person takes it hard and they don't like it. And so, ooh, I better fix this real quick. I'm just joking. And that's not being respectful and courteous to them. So treat others with kindness the way that Jesus says, the way that you would want to be treated. Beware of insincere friends. So we need to be true to our friends. We need to choose our friends wisely. Thirdly, we also need to beware of insincere friends. And Proverbs has some things to say about that, mostly in the realm of wealth. Proverbs talks about the person who's wealthy has a lot of friends, but are those real friends? For example, Proverbs 19, verse 6 says, many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of one who gives gifts. The poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? Though the poor pursue them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. Now, Solomon in Proverbs he's not saying that's how it should be. He's just saying that's how it generally is in life. So someone who's rich, yeah, has a lot of friends. Someone who gives gifts, someone who throws parties, Yeah, they've got a lot of friends. But just like the prodigal son, what happened when he spent all his wealth? All his friends were gone, right? And he was left all alone feeding pigs. So Solomon observes that in life, that if you don't have anything to offer other people, they won't be your friends anymore. Those are not real friends. Those are not sincere friends. Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of the poor person deserts them. That's not how it should be, but that seems to be a general observation of life, that people don't stay with those who are poor, with those who are going through difficult times, but a close friend, a faithful friend should. That's a sincere friend. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. So the bottom line is, don't be an insincere friend. They're just along for the ride, for the good that you can get out of that friendship. And be careful of accumulating insincere friends around you who are just there for what they can get out of you, who won't be faithful and loyal in difficult times. One last thing that Proverbs says about our relationships with our friends and our neighbors. And it's interesting that Proverbs makes a specific point about this, but Proverbs more than once says that we should not guarantee our friends' debts. Don't guarantee a friend's debts. Proverbs 17, verse 18 says, "One who has no sense shakes hands in pledge and puts up security for a neighbor." What does that mean? Well, to put that in common language in today's world, it would be basically being a cosigner for somebody. Being a cosigner. So someone cannot borrow the money themselves. They need help to borrow the money. They don't have the credit. They don't have the collateral themselves. So they come to you because you have a home, you have capital, you have collateral, you have good credit, and they can basically piggyback on you to borrow a loan. And Proverbs says, don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, Proverbs says elsewhere, it would be better for you to just hand that person a gift of money. Just give that person a gift of money than to sign your name as a cosigner on a loan. Don't do that, because if they fail to pay, then they're going to come after you. And it's just, this is just wisdom. So Proverbs isn't saying don't be generous. Proverbs isn't saying don't be helpful. But what Proverbs is saying is don't try to be helpful in this way, because it will surely come to your own ruin. If you want to be helpful and generous, then be helpful and generous, but not in this way. Help them in some other way if you can. Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5, an extended passage on this says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler." That's pretty intense language, isn't it? If you've offered yourself as cosigner loan and given yourself in pledge as security for your neighbor's loan, this is basically saying get out of it, if at all possible, using any means necessary to get out of it before it comes to your ruin. Better yet is to not get into that situation in the first place. Well, what about your own family member? What about a son? What about a daughter? What about a sibling, a sister, a brother? What about someone who's close to you in family? Don't do it. Don't do it. If they do not have the money or the credit or the collateral to borrow it themselves, then they're not ready to buy it. They're not ready to buy it yet. And so if they're trying to buy a home and they need a cosigner, they're not ready yet. They need to keep renting for a while. If they're trying to get a car and they have no credit, don't sign a cosign loan for them. Let them buy a $500 car and drive it for a month or two while they save some more. Sell it, buy a $1,000 car, drive that for a month or two, earn some more money, sell it, buy a $2,000 car. By the way, that's the Dave Ramsey method. if you ever read Dave Ramsey's book, that's his method. Buy the cheapest car that runs instead of borrowing money for a car, and then do that. Slowly save, drive that piece of junk for a while, and when you have enough to move up a step, sell that car, get the money back out of it, take what you've saved during that time, and then upgrade. And just keep doing that after a while. After a while, you'll have a pretty nice used automobile that you didn't borrow a dime for. So don't be a cosigner for anybody, is what Proverbs is saying. Because what's going to happen? Money can hurt relationships, can't it? It seems like money, more than anything else, can damage relationships, the closest of relationships, close friends, church members, family members. I've seen it. Unfortunately, you've probably seen this too, and I hate seeing it, but I'm often around at times of funerals when a death of a loved one has happened, and it seems like that's when everybody starts fighting over everything. That's the worst way to react, isn't it? Is, you know, I want this or I want that, or as a person becomes more elderly and maybe they have to move out of their home and go to a nursing home, it becomes a free for all, right? Hey, I'm going in there to get this, I'm going in there to get that, and that can damage relationships. Can terribly damage relationships. I've seen it firsthand in people that I know and care about. So don't let money be the source of damaging a friendship, damaging a relationship. If you have to, just give them the money. But don't let that loan, that security, that co-signing of the loan, don't let that relationship tear you apart. That's why Proverbs says that, because your relationship as friends is more important than the thing, more important than the money. So don't let this be a wedge between people. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for praying together. And I hope this is helpful to you and even helps you spur you on to do more reading in Proverbs and apply more of it to our lives. Let's just close our time together in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you that you were a friend to us, even when we were your enemies. And that when we were alienated from you, when we were rebels against you, that you loved us and you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to die for us, to lay down his life for us, to lay down his life for his friends. Lord, thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. Thank you for the example that he has given us of perfect friendship and loyalty and loving self-sacrifice. Lord, help us to heed the wisdom that Proverbs offers us. Help us to choose our friends wisely. Help us to be good friends and to be loyal and kind and helpful to our friends, especially when they're going through times of need. Lord, I pray that you would continue to mold us, to shape us in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to do the work in us that you have begun. And Lord, we ask this for your honor and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.